What a title. Are you ready?
Prince of Darkness.
The Prince of Darkness.
The Prince of Darkness is in the house.
Never heard of him.
Jonas Knox.
The story is Jonas Knox.
Yeah, Chief. This will be good.
Like I said,
Jonas Knox is coming through your speakers like a right cross from a boxer that you've never heard of.
What's going on here?
And now, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, here's Jonas Knox.
You're really going through with this, huh, Chief?
So we have got ourselves a modern-day genius at work in the NFL. We will get into all that coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And wherever you are, making us a part of your Saturday morning, welcome the hell in, and welcome to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. We have got a doubleheader today. We've got a doubleheader tomorrow. We are wall-to-wall football conversation. If you're one of those people out there who wants to waste your time talking about whether or not Steph Curry is a legit player because he finally hit a game winner, or what the hell is going on with the Los Angeles Lakers, go somewhere else. Not happening here. It's a football weekend, and we will dive in all the way. And we might even disrobe as we do it to get into a little bit of football conversation. But let's first, you know, give a little bit of credit where credit is due. We have got an absolute genius at work. A modern-day genius. And I don't know if people actually have taken the time to appreciate this or even acknowledge it. So I'm going to take the time to appreciate it and acknowledge it here, because I do think it is worth something. And I do think this guy deserves a little bit of credit for what he's been able to accomplish. If I were to ask you, which team in the NFL has gotten the most coverage this week? There's plenty of worthy candidates. I mean, we've got eight teams left. I mean, pick a team. There's plenty of them. I mean, you could go in chronological order or whatever you want to term it. You can go from start to finish this weekend. I mean, do you want to go Cincinnati? Finally getting over the hump 30-plus years since they actually won a playoff game? I mean, the Bengals have been getting a ton of love and conversation. Joe Burrow's the talk of the league. He's all of a sudden become like knocking on the door of a top five quarterback in the league conversation. I mean, the Bengals are getting a ton of look. The Tennessee Titans, they're the one seed in the AFC. Derrick Henry's finally coming back. You can argue borderline MVP of the league if you want to count a most valuable to his team over the past couple of seasons. Tennessee's worthy. The 49ers. All of a sudden find themselves as a legit team to have to deal with on the road at Lambeau Field. And who are they taking on? The number one seed Green Bay Packers. The Packers are getting a ton of attention. Aaron Rodgers. Is this his swan song in Green Bay? What's going to happen after the season? You've got the Bucks trying to defend a Super Bowl. Tom Brady continuing to play like he's in his mid-20s and gets better every single year. The L.A. Rams, Matt Stafford finally gets a playoff win. Forget about the Lions, or forget about the Cincinnati Bengals. Matt Stafford gets a playoff win. You've got the Bills and Chiefs, the de facto AFC championship game to a lot of people. Kansas City's been one of the hottest teams in the league, if not the hottest, over the past couple of months. You got the Bills, who've got their own issues because people can't seem to stop throwing objects on the field, but never mind all that. Like, there are plenty of worthy candidates left in the NFL playoffs to answer the question, who's the most discussed team in the NFL right now? And yet none of them is the answer. The answer is the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, who have been eliminated for almost a week, are still the most discussed team in the NFL.
The Dallas Cowboys.
And look, you can hate them. You can be sick of them. You can want the NFL and the NFC and the NFC East and anybody else to get rid of them. Fact of the matter is, it is a work of genius that the Dallas Cowboys are still at the top of the conversation when it comes to the NFL. No other team this entire week, since that game ended on Sunday, got as much conversation and talk and publicity and hype as the Dallas Cowboys. None of them. Nobody's even close. Every single day, of material for the Dallas Cowboys. Whether it was Stephen Jones talking, Jerry Jones talking, whether it was Dak Prescott telling fans to throw trash at officials, whether it was a former player laying into, nobody got conversation like the Cowboys. And who's responsible for that? Jerry Jones. He is a modern day genius. He has somehow figured out how to continue to keep his team the topic of conversation in the most popular league on the planet, by far, in the most popular sport, and they're not even playing anymore. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for it. It's like this illusion, this magic trick. Like Troy Aikman, think about this. Troy Aikman goes on a podcast this week, and he basically says, look, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, and you get to the playoffs, but you don't win a game, you're no better than the Jets and the Jaguars. And he's right. And in fact, I'll do you one better. The Jets and the Jaguars have accomplished more than the Cowboys have in the last 20 to 25 years. If we're talking on the field, they've accomplished more. What is the goal? It's to win a Super Bowl, right? Well, neither one of those teams that I just named, Cowboys, Jets, Jaguars, have won a Super Bowl since 1996, 95. The 95 season going into 96. That's the last time the Cowboys won a Super Bowl. In fact, Dallas hasn't even been to a conference championship game since that year. The Jets have been to an AFC title game twice. The Jags have been to an AFC title game twice. Dallas hasn't. The last time Dallas was in a conference championship game, gas prices were $1.15. Just think about that. Like, if you were to tell somebody in 95, hey, just so you know, before you get back to this point, there's going to be something called COVID-19. They would have thought you were talking about a cologne. The hell, what is COVID-19? What are you talking? COVID-19? What? Was that a fragrance? What are you talking about? That is how long it's been since the Dallas Cowboys have had a legit playoff or Super Bowl run. And yet here we are, all these years later, we got 8 teams on the table, great storylines involving all of them, the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL, one of the great quarterback talents in the history of the NFL, a running back who's doing stuff nobody's seen, the future of the NFL at quarterback meeting in the postseason again, and a team who finally won a playoff game for the first time in 30-something years, and all anybody talked about this week was the Dallas Cowboys. You can criticize Jerry Jones all you want. You can mock the organization. We can celebrate their quote-unquote demise. That is an absolute stroke of genius. To figure out a way to brand and market yourself in a way like, there's only a couple of people that have really done this, right? Only a couple of people. Brian Bosworth back in the day was brilliant about this. People couldn't stand Brian Bosworth. Now, a lot of people loved him, but he was too flashy, and they thought, oh my God, he wants it. He's getting too much attention too soon. And then people like to point out the Bo Jackson play, and they go, oh, well, you know, he got run over by Bo Jackson. Not really. He wasn't really lined up square with Bo Jackson, but his NFL career didn't turn out to be much in comparison to what he did in college. And all the other rumblings about, you know, what he was or wasn't doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Brian Bosworth recognized early on, I got to figure out a way to market myself, even if the hype far exceeds what's actually taken place on the field. So what did he do? Printed up a bunch of t-shirts that said, I hate Bosworth or something like that. It was him. He did it. Remember the band Limp Bizkit? People couldn't stand Limp Bizkit. Couldn't stand him. And by the way, the more you say that name, the more you realize how grotesque that name is. All right, but never mind all that. They couldn't stand him. And there would be these bumper stickers that would say, like, say no to Limp Bizkit. And they would have a Limp Bizkit, and then they'd have, the say no to drugs symbol, like the Ghostbusters, where they have the red line going through it. Who do you think created those? They were made by the band. They recognize, hey, we don't know what our shelf life is. We don't know how long we're going to be around. We may not be the greatest band in the world. You know what? Let's figure out a way to maximize it. Jerry Jones has done it better than anybody in the history of the NFL. It's an illusion. It's a magic trick. I've gotten to the point to where I'm not tired of talking about him. Because I think it's fascinating that there's still another layer and another layer all these days after the fact. What got us through COVID? When COVID first hit and people were looking around for stuff to talk about, there were people in sports radio that were absolutely terrified. Oh my God, there's no games on. What am I going to do? Now, I like to call those people box score readers. They're the ones that like to turn on a mic, not really do any prep, and just read through the box scores and figure it out as they go along. They're trying to find their point while they're on the air. They're box score readers. They weren't ready for what was going to be discussed. You know what got us through COVID? The Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary, Tiger King, a documentary about drug addicts, wild animals, and affairs, and the Dak Prescott contract. Think about that. The three things that got us through COVID on sports radio: Michael Jordan, drug addicts with wild animals, and Dak Prescott's contract. And it didn't even get done that offseason. It is the stroke of genius. You cannot like it. You can hate it. You can be miserable that the Cowboys are getting all this attention, and you can celebrate their losses. I got news for you. They haven't lost. They haven't lost in a long time. Credit where credit is due. Jerry Jones, bravo, good sir. I salute you. You have figured it out. It's the greatest magic trick in the history of the NFL. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, @TheJonasKnox, @TheJonasKnox on Twitter. We are brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at VisitLasVegas.com. We're going to take you all the way up until noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific here on Fox Sports Radio. We've got the usuals. We're going to have another edition of Do You Care? We've got Knox Locks, all sorts of football conversation next couple hours here on FSR. Coming up next, though, we do have some good news. There's a team in the NFL. They have got some really good news, and this is a very, very strange way to celebrate this good news. We'll get into that for you right here. God, what a bad song. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. I mean,
I hate that song.
Listen, Coach, I do too. There seems to be a whole catalog of Limp Bizkit songs you could play coming back from break, Sam. You got to go with this crud.
That freaking voodoo music.
What the hell's wrong with you, man? There's not anything else in the system?
This is a Ryan Bershinger request.
Of course it was. You know, of course. By the way, the Woodstock 99 documentary has Bersh written all over it. My favorite part about that whole thing is they're like blaming Fred Durst for all the crimes that were committed there. And it's like, God, you know, it must have been him, singing break stuff on stage. Or the fact that it was 105 with no water and the Andy Gumps and outhouses overflowing onto the field. I don't know. People swimming around in crap and mud. I don't know. Maybe that had something to do with it. You know, I mean, maybe, you know. Maybe charging $45 for a Slim Jim. I don't know. Maybe that kind of had something to do with the anger that was going on there. You know, just my guess. Unbelievable. All right. So coming up later on this hour, we are going to have another edition of Do You Care? Because I felt like we've been really positive so far on the show, especially that little diatribe on Woodstock 99. We're going to have another opportunity for you to be a little bit negative here on FSR. And plus, you want to like hear something that just sounds nasty? It's involving a player today in the NFL, and we will get to that here coming up in about 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. So, good news. Here's the good news. The San Francisco 49ers, the team that did what a lot of people wanted to be done, eliminated the Dallas Cowboys. They actually turned Dallas Cowboy fans into sobbing messes on the field. Like, I'm not even outraged by Cowboy fans throwing trash on the field. Look, if you want to throw trash on the field, you want to waste a $15 beer, you know, because you're frustrated with your team playing poorly in the postseason Barbie. Again. You do what you got to do. I mean, if I'm paying $15 for a Bud Light, last thing I'm doing is heaving that thing on the field. Not happening. And I'm definitely not throwing it at an official because I feel like the beer would fly out. You know, it's just an idiotic idea through and through. But I mean, when you're showing these people in the game and they're dressed up with like makeup on and little like stars on their cheeks and they're like in their 30s and 40s and they're crying, I mean, what a loser. Like, at some point, you know, it's like years ago when Kevin Durant went back to Oklahoma City. I remember there were people dressed up as cupcakes because I think they called him a cupcake or somebody called him a cupcake. There was some reference to that. And so you had these people dressed up as cupcakes, and they really wanted to show Kevin Durant. They really wanted to show him, hey, man, we don't forget. You come back into our backyard, you're going to have to deal with the repercussions. And it's like, dude, you're 52, dressed like a pastry. Who's the a-hole? I mean, like, and furthermore, who's the a-hole who lets you leave the house like that?
Jerk ass!
You don't have anybody like in your close inner circle that says, hey, dude, just a thought. I mean, why not like dial it down a little bit and maybe go as like a Twinkie?
Stop it.
Like, what about a zinger? A ho-ho? A ding-dong? A coffee cake, a maple bar, a fritter.
Dear God, it's good.
You're going to go with a cupcake? Like, that's the outfit of choice? Little bit strange, little bit bizarre. And then we get all the way into last week's playoff game, and you got people dressed like, you know, Dallas Cowboy players. I mean, they had one guy with, like, the little top hat on. He had, like, a little Cowboys hat. And I don't know if that was, like, a gift to him as a child. But, you know, I have a lot of gifts from when I was a child. I'm not walking around with them. You know, like, I remember I got a Ghostbusters ghost trap when I was a kid. I'm not walking around throwing that thing out and stepping on the pedal every time I think there's a mouse in the house. Not doing it. Just not my thing. But again, I'm not a loser. So, you know, there's people out there that dress like this and go to these games and dress up like that. Again, not trying to insult anybody here. Not trying to be negative on Fox Sports Radio. It's the last thing I want to do. This is all about positivity. I want people to feel good about themselves. But if you were one of those people that dressed up and sobbed at the Cowboys game, you're a loser, okay? The truth
loser.
Is your friend, and I am your friend, and I just want to let you know you're a zero. That's it. Bottom line, and now we move forward. The
zero.
49ers, though, they get some good news. Nick Bosa has been cleared to play in the game later on tonight. That is the night game Saturday night at Lambeau Field on Fox. Niners at the Packers. Jimmy Garoppolo also looks like he's a full go. Fred Warner also looks like he's a full go. So you look at it and you go, hey, man, you're the 49ers. That was the big concern. Are they going to be healthy heading into Lambeau Field? Are the 49ers going to be healthy heading into Lambeau Field? That was a big topic of conversation, and there's been a lot of people out there that have said, look, San Francisco's a live dog. San Francisco's going to have a real opportunity to do this. Ryan Bershinger is a diehard Green Bay Packers fan. Unfortunately, he's got nerve issues. I have seen Ryan Bershinger watch his favorite teams before. I have seen Ryan Bershinger watch the LA Dodgers in the playoffs. I've seen what that does to him. It's like, what's his name? Mel Gibson in Forever Young. Like, he aged by the second right in front of my very eyes. He went from like a small child to like one of the stunt doubles off Cocoon, like in a matter of moments watching a Dodgers game. So he feels very nervous about it. You've got, you know, other people that I work with at Fox Sports Radio, Lee DeLapp, executive producer. He's a Packer fan. He feels good about it. And a lot of this is trauma because they look at it and they go, man, the 49ers have really just done some work against the Green Bay Packers. I mean, whether you want to talk about Kaepernick, whether you want to talk about a couple of years ago where Jimmy Garoppolo didn't have to do much. They were at Levi's Stadium up in the Bay Area, and they just put a knife right through the Packers. I mean, it was a devastating loss. Here's the problem. The Niners have no chance tonight. None. I don't get it. I don't know what people are looking at. I don't know what people are watching. I don't know why people think this is going to be all that close. I don't. So maybe I'm the horse's ass who's going to make a prediction here and tell you this game isn't going to be close, but I don't get it. And I understand Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be healthy. I understand that Fred Warner is going to be back. I understand that Nick Bosa is going to be back. By the way, Nick Bosa, interesting way to celebrate being cleared of concussion protocol. There was a picture taken of him apparently taking a leak on the side of a high school. If you're not a guy, you don't understand the freedom you feel in that moment when you got to go, you think nobody's looking, and you just let it fly. There's something about it. All right. If you're not a guy, you can't relate to it. I don't know what the comp is if you're a woman, but there is something about gotta go. You don't need to look around for a restroom. You think nobody's around and you just let it go. Apparently, somebody was watching. That's why the camera was out and that's why the pics ended up on TMZ. So interesting way to celebrate clearing concussion protocol. But congratulations to Nick Bosa. Made TMZ and he's going to be on the field. I just don't see the threat. I don't. I understand the nerves. It's a playoff game. I don't see the threat at all. Like, if you're asking me right now, pick a blowout. All right, what's the blowout? Not that any of these games are going to be blowouts, but what's the game that you look at and you go, this can end up being a blowout? I think it's that one. And it's not even because it's the biggest point spread. I mean, all of these games, according to Vegas, are going to be relatively close. Cincinnati is a 4-point underdog on the road at Tennessee. What that's telling you is on a neutral field, it's about a pick 'em. Tennessee a slight favorite because you give 3 points to home field advantage. So they're telling you, yeah, Tennessee's like a half point favorite on a neutral field. We don't know about Derrick Henry. Tampa's a 3-point favorite at home against the Rams. They're telling you it's about even on a neutral field. Kansas City's a 1.5-point favorite in some places over Buffalo. They're telling you on a neutral field, the Bills are better. Like, all of these games seem to be pretty close. So when you look at it and you go, well, it's been at about 5.5. It crept up a little bit and then came back down to 5.5 on Friday and into today. They're telling you, yeah, it feels like this is going to be close. If I'm picking a blowout of all these games, a game that could get out of hand, this is the one. Because if it gets to the point to where, you know, Green Bay goes out there and starts putting up points and the Niners need to throw the football in order to get back in the game, that goes completely against where they're effective. They run the ball and they figure out ways to run the ball. And in talking with Brady Quinn and LeVar Arrington, who broke it down yesterday on the show, they talked about the Kyle Shanahan, the greatness of Kyle Shanahan as a play caller isn't just about passing the football. It's about running the football. He figures out a way to do this. I just think if there's a game that's going to get out of hand, I think this is the one. So if you are nervous as a Packers fan and you're wondering, my God, we, you know, we see a ghost of Niner playoff games from years past, Terrell Owens in the end zone, all of that stuff. If you see all that, don't worry about it. I got you covered. But if it turns out that the Niners do go on the road and win this game later on tonight, I never said any of this. Delete it from the podcast and we'll get that taken care of. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox. Coming up next, this sounds very, very painful. In fact, sounds borderline disgusting in the NFL. We'll get into all that for you right here on FSR. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, a man that is not disgusting, a man of honor, a man of prestige, a man who cracks this mic and cracks open your heart every single week here on Fox Sports Radio, I present to thee Sir Isaac Lohenkron. How about that, Ilo? Huh?
You know,
how about that?
I think you're finally getting on the right track with that. I think bringing in the live audience to applaud during that introduction in the background, and also the orchestra to provide the heralding, trumpeting music. I know that comes at a personal expense to you,
yeah,
because you do not get reimbursed for bringing them in.
And you know, with COVID, they jack up the prices and all that stuff.
Pass along my gratitude for playing those instruments through their masks. I understand, you really have to fire up the extra lung power, and I'm sure they charge you extra for that.
Well, listen, as somebody who tried to hire a mariachi band during COVID, you would have thought that I asked them for a Learjet. I mean, it was the price.
For that.
It's ridiculous. And so the fact we were able to get this done, I think, tells you, the podcast numbers have been through the roof. The ratings on this show. There's no other show on this network in this time slot while we're on that does better numbers than us.
You really know how to sell. Yep. You really know how to use selective information. Morbid curiosity, though. You know what? Let me get to the sports, and then we'll get to the mariachi band. I'm
sorry. Perfect.
Because I do have some questions. All right. The divisional round of the NFL playoffs kicks off at 4:30 Eastern. The Tennessee Titans, the one seed in the AFC, hosting the Bengals. Then tonight at 8:15 Eastern from Lambeau Field, it's the Packers and the 49ers. Former Indianapolis head coach Jim Caldwell today took to Twitter to deny report that he turned down opportunities to interview for the Vikings and Raiders head coaching jobs. More about coaches on Twitter coming up in a second, but first, a buzzer beater in the NBA on Friday night. The Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets tied at 103 in the final seconds. Here's Tim Roy on KGMZ.
Out of waiting. Curry with the catch. Guarded by Kevin Porter Jr. Curry dribbles on him. Step back jumper on the way. Good! At the buzzer! Ball game over!
Golden State now 33-13. Here's our other coaching item. This from college football, Jonas. News of this broke overnight. Hawaii offered Jones its head coaching job, but Jones turned. Excuse me.
The Hawaii football pro. It's breaking my heart. That's my team. It breaks my heart, man.
All sorts of issues. I mean, Aloha Stadium, it's unfortunately deteriorated, so they can't play there anymore. They have to play at essentially their track and field stadium. So June Jones, who had previously been the head coach at Hawaii, very successful, also a head coach previously in the NFL, turned it down, and June Jones tweeted the reason why. Quote, "I am still interested in this job, but there is no way I could accept with the conditions offered me. No coach in their right mind would accept. Dictating who can be on my staff and only 2-year contract, .. What recruit would come if I was here for 2 years? ... This has never been about money, .. but it is about giving me the ability to turn our program around and not have people tell me who is on my staff or how to coach my team." Unquote. Now, back to you, Jonas, and here's what I was getting at. What were the circumstances of you seeking to hire a mariachi band?
Well, my wife is, she's Mexican, and, they like to really do it up, and I happen to be a fan of mariachi.
Sure.
Like, when you hear mariachi music, you just want to drink. I don't know what it is. It's like this trigger that you just want to celebrate. You want to party. And if you don't drink, if you're into other stuff, then do what you got to do. But you want to have a drink, a beer, a cerveza, like they like to say. And we wanted to do a mariachi band. So we had all these grand plans. We had everything booked. We had a venue, all this stuff.
Well, wait a minute. What was the occasion? Did you just want to drink, or was there an occasion for this?
Yeah, our wedding, Isaac. That was our wedding.
Oh, you buried the lead. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a story about that, too.
Mistakes are made from time to time.
We were able to bring this group in on short notice. They're in the studio right now.
Well, yeah, and listen, I want to thank our friends here for appearing. I mean, they sound great. I mean, listen to those trumpets. All right, sound good. All right, can you do a little spin? Look at they're spinning here in studio. Look at this.
You boys like Mexico?
It's Well, I don't know why Bursch had to yell at him like that. That sounds like a racist thing to say to somebody who was trying to perform live in studio. But again, you know, it's like you hear like the Narcos theme, like the Narcos Mexico theme. When you hear that theme song, you just want to party and celebrate. And so we wanted to hire a mariachi band. And then all of a sudden, like 48 hours before our wedding, everything got shut down.
Oh.
And we were like, okay, so I guess we can't have this happen. And then, you know, trying to get my money back, that didn't go well. All of a sudden, the number didn't work. And yeah, you know, it's listen, it's a bummer.
It's funny because we had a kind of similar incident for our wedding many years ago. My wife is a UCLA alum and literally the biggest UCLA fan on the planet. We got married at UCLA, so we said to ourselves, hey, let's hire a few members of the UCLA marching band to play the fight song as she goes down the aisle.
Oh, man,
very cool.
Did Norm Chow pop out of a cake? Be honest, Isaac. You did, right?
He was,
no stone unturned.
Yeah, that was our next option. He was unfortunately, but that was a good pull by you, by the way. Very impressive.
Well, I've heard from the great Petros Papadakis that you do a great Norm Chow impression.
I do, but unfortunately, you know, he hasn't coached for a few years, so his voice is not as recognizable as it used to be back in the day with UCLA. So anyway, we inquire not the whole marching band, just a few. Maybe five people, the minimum of the marching band. You know how much it was? It was like a $2,000 minimum.
Oh, and are the kids getting any of that?
What?
Probably not.
No, they are now because we didn't hire them. We just played a tape.
Perfect. Yeah. $2,000.
For like three people to play one song on campus and to leave.
Look, you're not dotting the I at Ohio State. All right, play a couple of trumpet. I mean, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? Like, whoever dots the I at Ohio State, their price goes up significantly. If you're some Yahoo in Westwood and you play a trumpet or a trombone, you can't charge $2,000 to the great Isaac Lohenkron to try and play your instruments at his wedding. Kiss my ass. You should have said kiss my ass and hung up the phone.
We should have just rented some people from the local high school and rented you. UCLA band uniforms, and it would have been much cheaper. We would have paid them what they were worth, but it would have been much cheaper.
Agreed. Turn it into Halloween. I'm into it.
Boy, you and I have very similar incidents that we run into during our daily lives. It's so challenging being you and being me.
Yeah, I hear you, man. That's how this works. It's a tough gig out here. By the way, we are going to have another edition of Do You Care? In case this show wasn't already positive enough, Do You Care coming up here next on Fox Sports Radio. I did want to mention this, though. This sounds appetizing. So Derrick Henry is expected to start for the Tennessee Titans today. That's the game that's going to kick off divisional weekend in the NFL playoffs. This from Ian Rappaport. Derrick Henry will play today with a metal plate and five screws in his foot and a metal plate in his shoe. What is
he?
What is he? George Washington? Does he have wooden? Does he have wooden teeth too? Like, wait, what? He's like, so basically what you're saying is that Derrick Henry doesn't have a foot. That's what we're talking about here. So Derrick Henry doesn't have a foot. So you expect me to believe that some guy with one foot is going to carry this team in a playoff game? Okay. I mean, all right. I mean, if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan and you hear that news that Derrick Henry's going to have a metal plate and five screws in his foot and then a metal plate in his shoe, I mean, at what point do you start snorting Skyline chili off the ground? Like, when does that you start partaking in that? That sounds like it would be something to celebrate. Good God, man. He's going to play? All right, have fun with that. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, @TheJonasKnox, @TheJonasKnox on Twitter. You can hang out with us here, also on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up next, it's an opportunity to just have a little bit of fun. All right, it's what you need. It's cleansing. We like to cleanse you every single week here on FSR. It's yours next here, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Knox time right here.
Mic check. If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
I'm not even going to ask. All right, Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. This Pantera? Hey, Sam, little Pantera here? All right. By the way, my favorite boxer for a few years with this was this guy, Edison Miranda. He's Colombian. And you can find, there's an Edison Miranda knockout on YouTube. And I forget, it was some guy who was on like a reality show that he fought. He was on like an ESPN boxing reality show. And he hits this guy so hard, the guy goes limp in air and falls through the ropes. And his nickname was Pantera, the Edison Miranda character. But I didn't like that name because I thought it stole from the band. So I started calling him the Colombian Comatoser. And that didn't last long. Just did not. There was no staying power. Good to hear from Pantera on the show. All right, Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Who cares, right? Who gives a rip? Coming up top of next hour, we are going to have a real discussion. There's a team in the NFL. There's some people that are really, really high on this team. We're talking Super Bowl type hype. I gotta be honest. I don't see it. All right, I do not see it, so we're going to have that discussion with you here on FSR. Right now, it is time for something we do on the show every single week called this.
There are so many stories in the world of sports, and most of them are a complete waste of time.
TMZ reports.
Now,
let's get kinky.
Here's some of the big stories from the last week. But Jonas, the real question is, do you care?
And for that, we turn it over to our executive producer, Ryan Bershinger, to find out what the hell people have been talking about, Bersh.
The struggles of the Lakers was a heavy talking point throughout the week, especially after Russell Westbrook was benched for the final 4 minutes of their loss to the Pacers the other night. Jonas, do you care?
No, I don't.
I don't care!
Look, the most important thing to understand about the issues with the Lakers is that it's football season. That's the most important thing to understand. I get why some people get sucked into this conversation. It's like the Bill Parcells quote, consider yourself sucked, when it was Terrell Owens sucking the media into these discussions that he was having at the time. And Parcells said, consider yourself sucked. He sucks you guys in. People get sucked into this discussion when it comes to the Lakers and their struggles and all the other stuff that comes along with it. I don't, this is not a surprise. I was on Going Rogan with Fred Rogan a few months ago, and I said I didn't understand the roster construct. I didn't understand the building of the roster. It didn't make any sense. Like, I love Russell Westbrook, but he's never been known as a shooter. It's a team that struggled to shoot the basketball, and that was the solution. And I got buried alive by these nerds who cover the Lakers. They're basically fanboys dressed up as media members. And here we are all these months later, and LeBron James is having to go to the movies with his wife on a weeknight just to get away from the chaos. Get out of my face. Next!
Daryl Morey addressed the latest Ben Simmons trade rumors, saying that a deal before the deadline is, quote, less than likely. Jonas, do you care?
No. Like,
who gives a...
This is like, it's like the one guy in your fantasy league who you say, hey man, what do you think about making this trade? And he's like, yeah, no, that could work. And you're like, all right, well, propose me an offer officially on the site. And then you keep checking back and you keep checking back and you keep checking back, and he never actually proposes anything, and you text him, and all of a sudden he gets back to you and he says, hey, I just proposed that trade. And the game started 15 minutes earlier. It's like, what are you like, dude? Help me out here. Like, you want to do a deal or not? Next,
Oklahoma transfer Caleb Williams is deciding between USC and LSU. Jonas, do you care?
Not really, man. I don't give
a rat's ass.
What do you want? Like, where do you want to go, dude? You didn't want to be at Oklahoma, so where do you want to go? And don't, you know, have some, you know, fake press conference where you've got two hats lined up. It's USC and then it's LSU, and you toss one to the side. Like, come on. Pick a team, let's go, and let's move on with our lives. Next!
According to The Athletic, Jim Harbaugh would accept the Raiders head coaching job. Jonas, do you care?
I do, because I think Harbaugh, I think there's... there's a couple of things that are at play here. Number one, he's not happy about the pay cut he had to take from Michigan. He took like a $4 million pay cut. He can say whatever he wants. He's not happy about it. And I think he's trying to make him sweat a little bit. And I think he's trying to leverage the Raiders to do so. But if he does make the move, people are already starting to pair him up with Vic Fangio. And if you bring Jim Harbaugh back to the NFL in that division with Vic Fangio as his DC, I think that's a fun ride. Next.
Antonio Brown said that there's nothing wrong with his mental health. Jonas, do you care?
No. And look, there's going to be some people that are bothered by this. They're going to say, oh my God, mental health's an important thing. All right. So's wearing socks in a cryotherapy chamber. All right. That helps too. You know, like, I mean, like at some point, I don't have time in the day to worry about whether or not Antonio Brown's mental health is up to par. Figure it out. Do you want to play or do you not want to play? And stop sending hashtag no white women in 2020. What the hell is that? Next.
Bitcoin and cryptocurrency prices fell sharply on Friday. Nearly $200 billion eliminated from the crypto market. Jonas, do you care?
No. Like, whatever happened to loose change? Right, I got a bunch in my truck. Like, does anybody recycle anymore?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
So we got a team in the NFL that a lot of people are very, very fond of. In fact, a lot of people think this team has got Super Bowl written all over them, and I'm a little bit skeptical. We'll get into all that for you coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, and wherever the hell you are making us a part of your Saturday morning, we appreciate you doing so. Welcome into divisional round weekend in the NFL. We got a couple of games today. We got a couple of games tomorrow. And listen, man, enjoy it while you got it, because the NFL is going bye-bye here in less than a month. We are going to wave bye-bye to the NFL, and then you're going to hear people panic on sports talk radio across the country, because they think now all of a sudden they got to pay attention to college basketball and the NBA. Open your eyes, open your ears, and open a computer. There are plenty of stories out there when it comes to the NFL. They have mastered the art of being able to give you storylines throughout the entire year. Football is king. Football remains king, even in the offseason. If you're one of these fanboys who covers the NBA or loves the NBA, you can continue to have your lame discussions about who would win this matchup if they had, would it be LeBron or M? Like, go. Have those. That's fine. Have all those conversations you want. Those are all fun stuff to discuss, and you can discuss it somewhere else. Before we get into the team in the NFL that's getting a lot of love that I don't necessarily sign off on, positive feedback. All right, we encourage positivity here on this show. It's a Saturday morning. It's a day off. You don't want to hear any negativity. All right, you don't want to hear about all the bad stuff that goes on in the world. You want to hear about the positive stuff. You want to feel good as you embark on whatever your Saturday is. Now, if you have a day off today, you're out and about, you're doing your thing, you're with the family, you're hanging out, maybe you're you go to the donut shop, get yourself a little something, get a coffee. If you're a drinker, maybe you're already having a mimosa or a Bloody Mary or a Michelada because you want to feel better about whatever you did last night. That's fine. Listen, all of that is appropriate. All of that is good to do. If you're like us and you're working on a Saturday, all right, if you're out there working and busting your ass, hey, listen, it's a Saturday. You know, I know the weather might be rough where you're at, but the, you know, sun is on the horizon. There, you know, it's just right around the corner. You got to deal with a little more crap on the East Coast, but right around the corner, sunny days literally are just ahead, and you got football all day today and then tomorrow. So it is not all bad out there. So we'd like to preach positivity on this show, which is why David writes in and says, quote, Fred Durst is still much more entertaining, riveting, and interesting than cracker-ass bleep Jonas Knox and all your bleep-ass, boring, blowout NFL playoff games.
Wow. Wow.
So that right there. That's positivity.
Jonas.
All right. Here's the positivity in all that. Yes, the games last week were blowouts. I get it. Like, there wasn't a lot of competitive football. Bengals, Raiders. We probably thought after watching Bengals, Raiders, man, we are in for an epic, epic playoff weekend. And then all of a sudden, everything else happened. You know, I get it. But look, law of averages. Law of averages would tell us, if you get all the crap out of the way last week, it feels like we're going to have some competitive games this week. That's fun. All right, now, whatever he said about Fred Durst, you know, look, I felt like I was complimentary. All right, I felt like I defended him, you know, earlier in the show. But apparently not everybody listens the same way you do. So that gentleman is very upset. And if you are upset or whatever you want to write in, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter is the place to do that. And we can have those conversations here on FSR as we take you all the way up until noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific here, Fox Sports Radio. All right, so the team that I feel like is getting a lot of love, the team most likely to go on the road this weekend and pull off a win, is the Buffalo Bills. That's the crescendo. That's the cap off of divisional weekend. That's the Sunday night game, Bills at Chiefs, rematch of the AFC title game. And not to offend anybody in Tennessee, not to offend anybody, you know, in Cincinnati. All right, I don't want to bother anybody who's, you know, who's out there getting ready for playoff football. You are the first game of the divisional round, but that's the de facto AFC title game. Bills Chiefs is a de facto AFC title game. I think whoever wins that game is going to the Super Bowl. Right, it's not to knock Tennessee or Cincinnati. I just feel like those are the two best teams in the AFC, and those are the teams I look at and go, all right, they will represent that conference in the Super Bowl. But if you look at the odds, and we mentioned this earlier, they're telling you that they believe Buffalo is the better team. All right, so here's how this works. And I learned this from, you know, Steve Fezzik, RJ Bell, working on Straight Out of Vegas for as long as I did. When you set a line, look at it like 3 points is representative to the home field. So they automatically give you, in most places, 3 points. So if you are at home, you get 3 points because that's built in or baked in to the betting line. So if a team is a 7-point favorite and they're playing at home, what they're telling you is they're really a 4-point favorite, but we boost them up 3 extra points because of where they're playing at. The betting line in this game shows that the Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite. So what they're telling you is that the Bills, if you factor in the 3 points for home field advantage, that the Bills are the better football team. And similar to what I said about San Francisco going into Green Bay, I don't get it. I don't get the Bills are better than the Chiefs. I honestly don't. I don't understand. Like, let's be clear about something. The Kansas City Chiefs have been the best team in the AFC for a couple of months. I know Tennessee's the one seed. I get it. I know Tennessee's the one seed. I don't believe that anybody actually thinks they're the real one seed. It was like years ago when the Atlanta Hawks were the one seed in the Eastern Conference. Everyone's like, yeah, but they're not beating LeBron and the Cavs. Like, that's not happening. So, like, I mean, it's cool. Like, it's cool to have that number next to your team name, but they're not the one seed. Sorry. Like, I think a lot of people look at Tennessee and they go, yeah, they've got the number, but nobody really thinks Tennessee's the one seed. And Tennessee might be the most disrespected one seed in the history of football, but I think people look at it and they go, we've seen Tannehill have to do it without Derrick Henry. And now we get reports that Derrick Henry is coming back, but he's got, you know, like some, you know, like RoboCop foot on because he's got all these metal plates in it and whatever. And the reports are out, he's going to start, but he's got all these other issues. But nobody really looks at Tennessee and says, that's the best team in the conference. I think they look at Kansas City or Buffalo, and I think they say, that's the best team. And for my money, I think Kansas City far and away is the best team in the AFC. The Bills love, and the conversation about the Bills being the threat, I don't know if this is fatigue, if we've got Chiefs fatigue, and people feel like, God, we're always picking the Kansas City Chiefs. It's always Kansas City every single time out. Maybe there's a little bit of that to it, and I think a lot of people are guilty of it. I'm guilty of it as well, too. I mean, look, what the hell do I know? I picked Niners Ravens in the Super Bowl, right? Like a year ago, I had Cowboys Colts. All right. A year before that, it was Chargers Falcons. Upon further review, awful picks. But I think I was also finding myself with a little bit of fatigue. Like, man, I don't want to pick the Patriots every year. Man, I don't want to pick Kansas City every year. I don't want to pick the Packers every year. Like, it feels like the easy thing to do, picking those teams. And it seems easy to just pick the Chiefs, which is maybe why some of the love Buffalo is getting is there. But to me, Kansas City's been the best team in the AFC for a couple of months. And let's be honest about the Bills. And this is why I can't fully buy into the Bills. The Bills, at one point in the season, were really struggling. All right, I mean, let's factor in this. Urban Meyer and the Jags beat them. Right? Like, let's not pretend that Buffalo was just, you know, on a path to success all the way through. They lost to the Jags, who are a disaster. I mean, people dressed up as clowns at their game. I mean, so let's not pretend like the Buffalo Bills were just squeaky clean and there were no blemishes on their performance throughout the course of the season. I mean, at one point, the Bills were a game over 500. And we're not talking a long time ago. We're talking like a little over a month ago. The Bills were a game over 500. They were 7-6. So you ask yourself, all right, so what's changed since then? Well, they haven't lost. Okay, but who have they played? Carolina, New England twice, Atlanta, and the Jets. I repeat, Carolina, bad football team, who nearly fired their coach after two seasons. Atlanta, bad football team, the Jets, awful football team, and New England twice. And I think now that we've gotten to see New England late in the season and last week, I think we can all agree, if we're stacking the best playoff teams in all the NFL this year, New England's in the bottom two or three. And that's not to discredit Belichick. I think he did a great job. But New England, if we're stacking best teams in the playoffs to worst teams that qualified, New England's in the bottom three. I mean, like, you know, clearly, you know, there's a couple other teams that, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles would like a word, you know, maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I think New England is in that conversation with the bottom three. So if you're telling me that all that's changed in the last month from a team one game over 500 to a team that is a Super Bowl candidate and a better team on a neutral field than the Kansas City Chiefs, all the proof that I've been given over the last month is wins over Carolina, Atlanta, the Jets, and the Patriots? What am I missing? Like, where's the love coming from? I'm not saying this game's going to be a rout. I'm not saying Kansas City is going to go out and wipe them out by a couple of touchdowns. But I don't see where we're at with this. Well, they played earlier in the season and Buffalo dominated them earlier in the season. I get it. That was October. A lot has changed since October. I mean, Kansas City's got one slip up. There's one blemish on Kansas City's record since that game. Now, they lost to Tennessee. That was a bad loss. But since October, there's one blemish on the record, and it was Cincinnati. And it was a close game on the road at the end. And after we see what has happened, Cincinnati's a good football team. So you mean to tell me the best team in the AFC for a couple of months now is in real danger to a team who all they've done for the past month is beat bad football teams and a bad playoff team? I don't get it. I don't know where the love's coming from. Like I said, maybe it's fatigue, but I don't think Kansas City has anything to worry about with Buffalo. I don't think it'll be a blowout, like I said, but I like the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs get it done. I don't see the Bills hype. I just don't get it. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. We're going to take you all the way up until noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Pacific. All right, coming up next, we've got ourselves the Fall Guy. Somebody had to take the blame. Somebody needed to be held accountable. We've got the blame game in the NFL. We'll have it for you right here on FSR. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. We're going to get to this Fall Guy in the NFL. Bills fans are upset. They're bothered by what we were just talking about. Sheesh. You know, listen, but my whole point is, I just look, what's changed since the Bills were a game over 500? That's my whole point. I mean, they were a game over 500, you know, a month ago. What's changed? They've beaten bad football teams. That's what's changed. What do you mean? It's the Patriots. Come on, man. Like, you saw the Patriots. I mean, you saw the Patriots struggle down the stretch. I mean, they threw the ball twice. Like, the fact that New England won that game in Buffalo is a modern miracle. Threw the ball twice. I mean, I look at that game and I go, man, credit to Bill Belichick and what the hell happened to Buffalo that night. That was bad. But I mean, in a month, the Bills have beat bad teams. So sorry if I'm a little skeptical as to whether or not they're a legit team. I love the Bills. I've been on the Josh Allen bandwagon for years. That's my guy. Even when he had that meltdown, was trying to give away the game in Houston a couple of years ago, I said, man, that's why I love him. I don't know whether or not he's going to throw a 90-yard touchdown or a 90-yard pick six. I love Josh. I love him. I love the Bills. Right, I'm rooting for the Bills. But I just, if we're going to be honest here, I mean, I've seen Kansas City's resume and I've seen Buffalo's resume, and I don't think it's close. And go back to the previous matchup all you want, that's fine. This is a different Chiefs team. Different Chiefs team. And I would argue the Bills have regressed since then. Like, if I were to ask you, who's gotten better and who's gotten worse since the first meeting, what's your answer? Chiefs have gotten better, Bills have gotten worse. That's just the truth. All right? I mean, don't get upset. Look, you got bigger issues, all right? You need to find out who the reckless individual is that continues to throw objects on the field, right? And we know what objects we're talking about here, right? It's happened three different times, always against the Patriots, and it's always in that end zone, all right? I got two questions. Number one, who's doing it? And number two, how'd you sneak it in? Don't answer the second one. Just think about it. All right. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter. We do have a Fall Guy. I mean, this is great. You knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen. So I was talking earlier about, you know, the brilliance and genius of Jerry Jones. He's figured out a way to take a unsuccessful football team and make them the biggest storyline in the NFL. Going into this divisional round, what team in the NFL was getting talked about the most? The team that's not in the divisional round, the Dallas Cowboys, all week. Because of whatever the hell that was on the final play and Dak Prescott sliding. So you open up the week, you had the criticism on the play call. You had the criticism on the performance. You had the criticism on Dak. The criticism on Kellen Moore. The criticism on Mike McCarthy. And then the criticism on the organization. But now, all these days later, Jerry Jones has identified his Fall Guy. You knew somebody was going to be held accountable. Right? Now you thought, well, maybe it's Mike McCarthy. Maybe it's Dak. Like, who's going to take the blame? No. Jerry Jones, he made sure that we know exactly who the Fall Guy is. Somebody's got to be held accountable. Somebody's got to take the blame. Here was Jerry Jones talking about the wide receiver, Amari Cooper, who should take the blame. This was on The Fan in Dallas.
He should take half the field with him when he runs around. A whole bunch of that defense ought to have to honor Cooper. He ought to be able to catch it in the middle of when they're going with it. Others do. You throw to people that are covered all the time in the NFL. You have to.
So there it is. There's your fall guy.
You got
Amari
to have a
Cooper.
Fall guy.
You got to. Thank you, Chris. I'd still like to know what happened, you know, on the set of First Things First. But anyways, you got to have a fall guy. And Amari Cooper's a fall guy. And it's easy because, you know, they can get out of his contract. I mean, it's going to cost him $6 million, I think, is the dead cap hit or whatever the number is. But, you know, Amari Cooper, you know, he's probably going to be gone. He signed an extension, you know, and the way the extension works, if you just cut through all the garbage, he basically signed a two-year deal. And if they make the move before March, the dead cap hit's going to be $6 million. I can assure you, Amari Cooper will not be back with the Dallas Cowboys. It ain't happening. Somebody's got to take the blame. And it's easier that it's Amari Cooper because he's not really a Cowboy. You ever notice that with Jerry Jones? It's never a quote-unquote Cowboy who takes the blame. It's an outsider. Like, Amari Cooper, the only reason they signed him to a contract extension is because they gave up a first-round pick to him for him in the trade. They were already pot committed. So Jerry Jones didn't want to look dumb and go back on, well, I give up a first-round pick, only let the guy walk in the offseason. No, no, no. Give up a first-round pick. Amari Cooper was getting a contract extension. Whatever that contract was going to be, he was getting it. Jerry Jones didn't want to look foolish. And so now that he's got an opportunity to get away from it, it's like, well, you know, I didn't draft him. We didn't draft him. He's not a Cowboy. You notice nobody's talking about Ezekiel Elliott? Like, nobody's talking about the fact that Ezekiel Elliott's career is starting to look kind of similar to Todd Gurley's. Where Todd Gurley was, you know, the MVP, and Todd Gurley was this just, you know, amazing all-purpose back who was carrying the Rams, and he was the key to their success. And then all of a sudden, they started making the run to the Super Bowl, and it was like, something's not right. Why isn't he being used more? What's going on here? And then there were reports of, you know, deterioration of his knee and all the other things to come along with it. And it's like, yeah, but he's like young. Like, what? Like, he just got paid. What's happening here? Zeke's only 26. And he looks like he's already on the downside of his career. And we don't hear any discussion about, man, what about Zeke? Is he going to be? And look, contracts are different. I get all that. But Zeke's a Cowboy. Just like Dak was drafted by the Cowboys. Like, nobody's talking about Kellen Moore being in trouble, right? Nobody's talking about his job being in trouble. But we're hearing whispers about Mike McCarthy. Well, because Kellen Moore's a Cowboy. Like he wants to, whatever he's got to do to keep Kellen Moore around, he's going to do it. Jason Garrett was given a long leash. Why? He's a Cowboy. Now, Jason Garrett, I've always thought was underrated as a head coach. Like, you can say, well, he never got it done in the postseason. Okay. I mean, guy was coaching in Dallas a long time. He was 18 games over 500. He had one losing season. And the one losing season he had, they were completely crippled with injuries. I mean, Matt Castle was starting games at one point. Romo, I think, hurt his back. Like, there was all, like, it was a terrible season. They had terrible luck injury-wise. That was his one losing season. But Jason Garrett was given a long leash. And the way people talk about the reporting on Mike McCarthy, and this is Albert Breer was on with us on Fox Sports Radio this week, talking with myself, Brady Quinn, and LeVar Arrington. And he said, look, they love Dan Quinn. They love Dan Quinn in Dallas. But the way that Dan Quinn's contract is structured is that if he were to take another job, like, the only way Dallas can keep him around is by getting rid of Mike McCarthy, because they would have, like, all the money that's still tied up with Atlanta, because Atlanta's still paying him. The way the contract breaks down, like, the only way Dallas would be able to afford to keep Dan Quinn is if they got rid of Mike McCarthy. So now Dallas finds themselves in this spot where they're like, well, we love Dan Quinn, but, like, are we just going to let him walk? And he's getting offers for and getting interviews with all these other teams. So barring a surprise, Dan Quinn's going to have a head coaching offer on the table this offseason. And then Dallas has to decide, what do we want to do? Because if you were to ask a Cowboy fan, or just ask yourself, anybody who watched a second of Dallas Cowboy football last year and this year, ask yourself, which side of the ball improved the most? The defense. Not even close. Not even close. The defense, by far and away, improved the most. And if you got to attribute it to somebody other than just Micah Parsons, what's the key ingredient? It's Dan Quinn. So now Dallas has got to figure some things out. Now, I don't think Mike McCarthy is going to get fired. I don't think Jerry Jones wants to go back on it, but it is worth noting that, you know, teams kicking the tires on Dan Quinn, if they offer him a gig, Dallas is going to have to think long and hard about whether or not they want to walk away from him, because the only way contract-wise it makes sense to want to keep Dan Quinn, the way that his money pays out by the Atlanta Falcons, they would have to give him like $9 million as a coordinator. It's not happening. The only way they keep Dan Quinn, if he gets offered a head coaching job elsewhere, is if they walk away from Mike McCarthy. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, @TheJonasKnox, @TheJonasKnox on Twitter. Up next, we are going to get into the potential end of an era for one team in the NFL this weekend. We'll get into that for you right here on FSR. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you royalty on the radio, Sir Isaac Lohenkron. How about that, Isaac?
What happened there? Did the band suddenly have to go on break?
Well, you know, little quick hitter. By the way, how do you like the royal treatment when we call you Sir Isaac Lohen? If you're like one of those guys off Game of Thrones, except you didn't have your head cut off.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say it's appropriate. I would say it's the... It's not so much cool as it's appropriate, you know?
Hey, listen, I mean, I think it's, you know, that's something, the fact that, you know, like, you're royalty, but they don't have to worry about your head being on a stake, you know, outside the village, you know what I mean?
Hey, you know, in this business, that's saying something.
Let's go live to our decapitation insider, Iowa Sam, for the latest. Sam?
No decapitation talk at the moment, okay. But... it's funny because FSR personality Anthony Gargano always refers to Isaac as the Lord of Trending. And there's sort of a royalty, Lord
there.
Of Trending, medieval, the magistrate.
The way,
that's Isaac.
I love Anthony Gargano.
He's the best.
He's one of my favorite people in radio. I love Ant. Like every time when you listen to Anthony Gargano, you just feel good. Then for whatever reason, you sit back and you have a smile on your face. Like, there's something about the way Gargano does sports that just makes me smile. And for a guy coming from Philadelphia where it's so negative, the way he delivers, that's why I love him. Now, when you listen to this show, a lot of people are just miserable. They walk away from it and they go, can I get anywhere away from sports radio? That's depressing. But, you know, let's go live. Or I have a thought on being depressed insider Iowa Sam for the latest.
Not that either, or decapitation game, but I just want to say I was in Philadelphia in October, right? I was out there visiting some family, and Anthony Gargano is like the sports king of Philly. I kid you not, I was walking around and two guys were just listening to sports talk radio on their phones, and it was Anthony each time. Just random dudes out walking around. And it was Anthony Gargano every time.
Have you heard my impression of Anthony Gargano?
No, let's hear it.
Kevin Figures. All right, so imagine Kevin Figures is on the updates.
Okay.
So we're going to get into a little bit of that next. But first, Figgy, Trending. it's the best. It's the best. Oh, man, I love him.
Okay.
Good old Anthony Gargano.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and get through this as quickly as possible. And then I want to go to our Does Jonas Do Any Other Impressions correspondent, Jonas Knox, in just a minute. So keep that in mind. I want to see if you do any other impressions. You were talking about Dan Quinn. Well, Ed Warder reported a short time ago that Dan Quinn happens to be interviewing for the Chicago Bears head coaching job this morning via Zoom. No word yet if Quinn was wearing his cap on backwards during the interview. The New York Giants announced this morning they've interviewed Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier for their head coaching job. Meanwhile, former Indianapolis Colts and Detroit Lions head coach Jim Caldwell took to Twitter this morning to deny a recent report that he turned down opportunities to interview for the Minnesota Vikings head coaching job as well as the Las Vegas Raiders head coaching job. Today's divisional round playoff action kicks off at 4:30 Eastern as the Tennessee Titans host the Cincinnati Bengals. Then at 8:15 Eastern from Lambeau Field, it's the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. Back to you, Jonas. And again, now, in case you're just tuning in, Jonas did a first-rate Anthony Gargano impersonation, and I wanted to know if you happen to do any other impersonations you'd like to share with the class.
It's what I've been saying. Listen, Chris, I was in Detroit for years, and I was on the air and in my column saying Matt Stafford should change his name to Stat Padford. LeBron is a fault. The finals failure of all time. Stop it!
Sound the alarm!
Uh-huh.
How's that?
Sound the alarm! I love it. I love it. Anybody outside of the Fox Sports Radio orbit, just out of curiosity.
You want to hear my Bryant Gumbel?
Bryant Gumbel hosting the Today Show, or Bryant Gumbel during a short-lived stint doing play-by-play on NFL Network? When the Patriots went 16-0 against the Giants to complete the undefeated regular season, the announcers were Chris Collinsworth and Bryant Gumbel, believe
it. No, this is Bryant Gumbel doing that. Was it Real Sports on HBO?
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to a story about a man who sits in his chair every Saturday and does updates, all the while regretting his decision to reach out to the UCLA marching band for his wedding. Our Iowa Sam reporting.
And then after the piece, he's going to be in the studio on chairs of the correspondent, pretending like he's asking him spur-of-the-moment questions.
Which, by the way, is one of the great costumes in all of I'm Trying to Look Smart. And not that he's not smart, but, you know, it's like, what are you doing, dude? You're not taking any notes. I mean, this is being recorded. It's right up there with Matt Patricia having a pencil behind his ear, but laminate on his paper. What are you doing, dude? Like, nobody cares. Like why? Nobody cares. Like put the pencil away. I don't know if it's like Andrew Dice Clay doesn't smoke. He hasn't smoked in years, but he still holds on to the cigarette as a prop. Like, I wonder if Matt Patricia does the same thing. Like, he just holds on to it as a prop. I haven't actually used a pencil in years, but I hold on to it because it makes me feel good.
Only you could link Bryant Gumbel, Matt Patricia, and Andrew Dice Clay in the same segment and make it work.
How about that? Table for three. Can you imagine that? That's how it goes. All right. The hell are we talking about? All right, Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Thanks, Coach. We are going to have Knox Locks coming up next. I'm going to make picks on the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. If you've been listening through the course of the show, I've given you some hints, but I do have a couple of surprises. So we're going to get into that for you here next on FSR. I will say this, and I've thrown this out there before. I believe that there's a real chance that Bruce Arians walks away after this season. I believe that's going to happen. I think, and this goes back a little bit, Arians was on with Dan Patrick a year ago after they won the Super Bowl in Tampa, and he said part of the motivation for him to want to come back, because he finally won his Super Bowl, was because, you know, he was having the opportunity to work with his coordinators, Leftwich and Todd Bowles, who he respects a ton. I think that Arians has a Super Bowl. He's got his win. And now if they win a Super Bowl, I think he's absolutely walking away. I think he's over. I think it's it. He's not one of these guys. Have you ever seen documentaries on Bruce Arians? He got really burnt out as a coach early in his life, early in his career. I think he was at Temple. And he promised himself he would never do that. It's why he tells all his assistant coaches, if you miss one recital, one birthday, one anything, you're fired. I don't want you sleeping on cots. I don't want you sleeping on the floor in the office. I don't want any of that stuff. Like, it's too toxic to your personal life. Family's more important. He's always been one of those guys. And I think Arians is a little worn out just by the season. All right. So having to go through all the COVID crap, like all the protocols, trying to get guys vaccinated, whatever your beliefs are at that time, the Antonio Brown drama, the fiasco that went along with that, you know, being fined $50,000 for slapping a player on his helmet. He's got a partially torn Achilles tendon that he's been having to deal with. Like, it's been a rocky year for Bruce Arians. If Tampa goes on and wins another Super Bowl, why come back? You've built up, you've got the roster, you've got your quarterback. It's turnkey. You can hand it over to Byron Leftwich and he'd be off and running, or Todd Bowles, and they're off and running. It's turnkey. So if they won a Super Bowl, why come back? For what? To deal with more the drama, more the garbage that came along with this year? I think he'd walk away. And I think there's a real chance, even if they were to lose this weekend, even if they lose this weekend or next weekend or in a Super Bowl, that Arians walks away and just says, look, I got my Super Bowl. I had a hell of a ride. I'm going to go have a beer and hang out with my wife. I'm good. Todd, Byron, take the team. You got Tom Brady here. You guys are good. I'm out. Like, he'd already retired. He was done. And they brought him back in. I think there's a real chance that it could be the end of the Arians era in the NFL, depending on how this plays out. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Get me on Twitter, at the Jonas Knox. Coming up next, we are going to get into some Knox locks. All right, I'm going to make some picks on all the games in the NFL this weekend. An opportunity to make some money is yours right here on FSR. Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio. Going to have some Knox locks coming up here momentarily. We're going to pick some winners in the NFL this weekend. Look, successful regular season. Never mind what happened in the final week going 0-3. You know, that happens to the best of us. But, you know, like what, like 11 games over 500 for the season? You know, that's pretty solid, man. You ask anybody. It's pretty solid. And, you know, last week, you know, kind of ran into some issues. For whatever reason, I thought the Dallas Cowboys were a better team than they were. They're not. They're at home watching the postseason. But, you know, we will bounce back here coming up momentarily. If you missed any of this show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com afterwards. It'll be posted up shortly. I will tweet that out from my Twitter account, at the Jonas Knox. And you can hear why George Washington is starting today at running back for the Tennessee Titans. Trust me, it'll make sense. Listen, in context of the show, it's very strange just hearing it isolated, but it does make some sense. And also, stick around 10 minutes from now. It is Up on Game. LeVar Arrington, Plexigo Burris, TJ Houshmandzadeh, they will be on the air talking some football, all sorts of fun stuff here. And then also after those guys, Arnie Spanier and Matt Mosley are up. And you're wondering, why are you teasing two shows ahead? It's because Arnie Spanier won't leave me alone. Wants me to give him free publicity on his show that's coming up in a couple hours here. Never mind, he never has me on his show. He never hypes up my show. All he does is brag about how nice the weather is in Vermont while I've got to, you know, freeze my ass off here in Southern California with 60 and 70 degrees temperatures in January.
Jerk ass.
All right, right now it's time for this.
Hey, lock it.
Let's lock in.
And now Knox locks.
White 80, white 80.
Bengals and Titans.
I like the Cincinnati Bengals here. Now, not surprising, this line has crept up. The Tennessee Titans are 4-point favorites. And look, I may have a built-in bias here against the Tennessee Titans because, and this could be a blind spot, I have not seen the Tennessee Titans as a legitimate team to be reckoned with in the AFC all year long. Here they are as the one seed. They are being totally disrespected. They're coming off a bye week. They're getting their running back. But I wonder if this team does go through Derrick Henry, how much can you rely on a guy who's got metal plates and screws in his foot and hasn't played football in months? That feels problematic to me, which means Ryan Tannehill is going to have to throw the football. And if Tennessee gets out there against if Cincinnati gets out there against a bad Titans defense that doesn't do well stopping the pass, and Cincinnati starts throwing the ball around and utilizing all those weapons on the outside, you're going to have to rely on Ryan Tannehill in that game. I think that's an issue for Tennessee. I think getting 4 points on the road for Cincinnati, who, by the way, I think comes in feeling a lot less pressure than they did a week ago. They'd heard all the conversation about 30-plus years since they'd won a playoff game. They finally get it done. I think Cincinnati, not only do they cover the 4-point spread here, but I think there are a real, real chance that Cincinnati wins that game outright. I like the Bengals.
White 80, white 80.
49ers and Packers.
Listen, I said it earlier. I don't see the threat at all in San Francisco. I get it. They run the football. I get it. It's Kyle Shanahan. I get all that. They're getting all their weapons back. Nick Bosa's returning. Jimmy seems to be fine. Fred Warner. I get all that. I just think Green Bay is a much better football team. Green Bay's a 5-point favorite. The fact that this line has dropped down to 5 points is surprising to me. It was at 6 in some places earlier in the week. Now it's back down to 5. Give me the one seed in the NFC. I like the Packers minus the 5 at home.
White 80. White 80.
Rams and Buccaneers.
I'm going to take the Rams. I never thought I would say this. If Matt Stafford just doesn't turn the ball over, I think the Rams, not only with the 3 points, have an opportunity, much like Cincinnati, to win this game on the road. I think Tampa's banged up. I think their issues on their offensive line could play out in a big way in this game. And I think whatever Philadelphia did last week in giving up opportunities to throw the ball, I don't think the Rams make that same mistake. I like the Rams getting 3 points on the road.
White 80. White 80.
Bills and Chiefs.
Look, Chiefs minus 1.5. Easy. I don't buy into the Bills. I don't think a lot has changed in the last month other than them playing bad football teams. It's why I like Kansas City. And that is your playoff edition of Knox Locks. For Ryan, Sam, and Isaac, I'm Jonas. Thanks for hanging out here on FSR.
Jonas, son of a bitch.